Okay, we're going to get rolling here today. Something the Lord laid on my heart. I know I'm trying to head towards prayer, and I really think we're going to really start it next week. I know I've been heading that way for a while. But every now and then, God kind of intervenes, or quite a bit, and wants me to cover different subjects to prepare us. And one that the Lord's laid on my heart, and I've been going to preach on this for quite some time, and that's the topic of anxiety. Anxiety is something that is really affecting our culture, a lot of people in it, and how it's holding a lot of people back from God's best. And I believe God has a cure for anxiety in the Bible. And we're going to look at that today. So hopefully if you struggle with this, it'll help you. And if maybe you have a friend, you can share this message with them. And it'll be up on the website here pretty soon. I'll try to get this one up quicker. But, you know, I really feel as we, there's a snowball effect. If you know what a snowball going down a hill, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what I see is that in our culture, with the way that technology and all these things are bombarding us with all this information and all these things, it just seems like time is speeding up. And that has effect on our emotions and our mind. We don't really maybe are much aware of it because it's a slow and gradual thing that's going. But I really feel that people have less peace today than they did 10 years ago. But yet we have all this stuff that makes everything easier. And there's a reason why we have to fight back and use the things that we have in God's Word to help us. So have you ever struggled with anxiety? And anxiety, I believe, gets stirred up inside of us when we either have regret about the past, and that can stir it up, but mostly I think it's fear about the future. Excuse me. And that's what a lot of people probably struggle with more. It can consume us in such a way that it causes us to stop functioning properly. I read one statistic, there's probably a lot of them out there, but it said, around 40 million Americans struggle with anxiety at the age of 18 and older in some way, shape, or form. Now, I know even a lot of kids in school have anxiety issues. Working with kids that we do, we know that some of the issues they go through. So it's not something that just hits the adults. And we're going to look today about what God says about it and how I believe He's given us answers in the Word of God so that we don't have to really succumb to that. And maybe you struggle with that today, so please hear what I'm saying. I'm saying everything today in love, but I'm also attacking a devil when I preach because he's holding people in bondage. So we're going to try to deal with this in a couple different ways. The passage I want to look at today is in Philippians chapter 4. It's found verse 6 to 9. Should be a very common passage that many of us have probably read before. It says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the words spoken through the Apostle Paul here by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you know the lives that each and I live. Lord, that each of us have different battles, different things that's going on. But Lord, whatever the battle is, no matter how bad the enemy comes in like a flood, Lord, I know that you have answers for us in your word on how we can walk victorious and be an overcomer and not just overcome. Lord, I thank you for the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And for the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, just to be in operation in a mighty way, I bind you, Satan, from stealing the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first point I want to look at today is how we need to redirect our flow. Redirect our flow. And that's talking about our brain, because our brain is involved in all these things. You know, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Okay? We're a spirit being. When we're born again, we get the new life of Jesus Christ. But yet in that process, still our soul is part of us that is under the renewal process. And there's also an enemy, the carnal nature, which comes in to try to influence our mind. And we're going to look at that and how we can overcome that. Now, our English word for our anxiety actually comes from a Latin word, which means to choke, to squeeze, or to strangle. And it infers that it's around the neck. When I picture that, I picture a boa constrictor, some big snake grabbing a hold of its prey and just squeezing. And if somebody is battling with anxiety, that's what they feel like a lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of time, that squeezing motion just comes in and holds us back and makes us feel that we can't really function. And to me, anxiety, I'll just throw this out, and I'm going to reiterate a little bit in the message, is number one, it's a spiritual thing, because I do believe there's a devil. As sure as I believe there's a God, there's also a devil. And he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. So anxiety come at us with a spiritual attack, okay? Also, then we have our soul. Now, you and I live in different circumstances, but some of them are similar. Now, I know that sometimes circumstances change, don't they? And sometimes circumstances can be very hard. Maybe a loss of a job or a health issue and all these different things can come in and attack us. Well, then that affects our mind. And it depends on our response, how we respond to those things. We'll also tell just in our mind what can happen. And anxiety can come at us in our soul from that natural realm. Then also we're going to look at how the physical body is also tied into anxiety, because you're going to get into a circular loop. And then that makes it hard to get out. Okay? So, self-centered, counterproductive worry is really what anxiety is all about. And see, that's what happens. It causes us to get so focused on a certain thing that it just takes control. It just overwhelms us. Now, everybody has a little bit of anxiety. But what I'm talking about today is more of an issue where that anxiety is kind of on steroids. You know what I'm saying? It's worry on steroids. Because some anxiety is good. If you're getting ready to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, you know, you get a little anxiety there. That's okay. You should be a little nervous about that, especially if it's your first time. But then after you jump and you land, hopefully, in a good way, if you're still alive, amen, well, the anxiety leaves, right? Everything's okay. You're fine. But somebody that struggles with anxiety, it's just like that stays there all the time. And it can be overwhelming. It can wear them down and cause them to have a lot of different issues going on in their mind and their body. Something I felt the Holy Spirit told me during prayer meeting yesterday was that a distracted mind is a dangerous mind. And that's where I was talking about in my introduction. We are more distracted today than we ever probably have been in history. With all the things, I mean, have you ever noticed somebody when they sit down, what's the first thing they do? They grab their phone. And they start to check through it. Even if they don't have, even if it's not a smartphone, they just want to look like they're busy, right? You know what I'm saying? They just try to engage their mind. And they got so many things going on. I mean, our mind does never get to rest. And our mind does need to rest sometimes. What happens when you get all whacked out sometimes? What do? A lot of time you go home and you want to veg out. Do you sit in silence? Probably not. You turn the TV on. Now granted, if your mind is still working somewhat while you're watching that show, our mind never gets to shut down. And so it's so distracted, then over time it just kind of wears on it and causes a lot of problems. Now, the devil, what he wants us to do when you and I have problems, and everybody has problems. Now here's the thing, the biggest lie of the devil. Somebody that struggles with anxiety thinks that nobody else ever has anxiety or problems in their life. It's just them. But see, that's a lie. Everybody deals with things because the devil attacks everybody. He hates us all. You might as well just get over that. You know, the devil doesn't like you and he never will. Because now that you're born again and you're a Christian, you're following Jesus Christ, you're on the other team. no longer plan for him. And so what he wants us to do, he just doesn't let us go, but he tries to get us so focused on ourselves that we can't really deal with the things of God, what God really wants us to focus on. Because there's a lot of things that God wants us to do that'll help us to walk in liberty and get free from that bondage. Now, one thing about anxiety is that if we don't deal with that anxiety, the unhealthy kind, it can lead to depression. Now, that's a terrible cycle to get into. When you have anxiety, that leads to depression, and you just get into that funk, and you're just going around and around and around. And then it can really be kind of detrimental. And what the anxiety does, it focuses on the uncertainty. Now, what I read was a chrononym the other day when I was reading through some things, and the anxiety is really fear. And what they said about fear was, fear is fantasized event appearing real. And that's what anxiety is. Have you ever, now we've all worried, we don't have to raise our hand right now, but have you ever worried about something that never really did happen? But yet it just tore you up inside. It just was weighing on you. And that thought just come in and it immobilized you and caused you to maybe pull back and just worry about this thing, this fantasized thing that wasn't really real. This event never really did happen. And then you wasted all that time worrying. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about stuff. You know, if Jesus was the Godfather, he'd say, don't worry about it, right? You know, some New Jersey accent. You know, that, you know, we just got to stop worrying. Now, when we get consumed with anxiety, it causes us to feel out of balance and what I call a half a bubble out of plum. Now, I've lived my life a half a bubble out of plum every now and then, you know. You know, just a little bit off. Everybody thinks I'm a little weird, and that's all good. But what I found is a typical response when anxiety attacks people, and I'll be honest, there's a lot of people that are missing this message today because they have anxiety. I knew better than advertising it, but we did it anyway when we put it on Facebook that we're preaching about anxiety. And some of the people that I know that this will help, so hopefully they'll listen to it and get set free, because I hate to see people hurt and walking in bondage. But the typical response of somebody that has anxiety is avoidance. They avoid things. They pull away from people. They pull away from circumstances and they try to shut down. But I want to ask you a question. When we avoid things, when we shut our mind down and don't take control of it, who tries to take control of it? The enemy, doesn't he? Satan tries to come in. So when he gets us into that spot, he's kind of got us hemmed in there. We're kind of in a trap. But see, God has a plan to get us out. Now, a little more about this from a scientific or whatever kind of view is that our brain, and I've talked about this before, especially when we're talking about pornography and different things, was how the brain has a tendency to rewire itself. And how it works with anxiety, worry kind of starts like a trickle, just a little bit going down, but then the more we worry, that trickle becomes a river. And then it gets easier and easier to worry or feel anxious. And what happens is that the neural pathways in our brain, they have a tendency to develop new paths. And somebody that's used to worrying, the littlest thing can set them off, and then they're right back where they were. They might get out of it for a little while. They jump out of the river and crawl out of the bank, you know. Then all of a sudden, some little thing comes back in and just sets them off. And they're back. And see, that's what happens when we allow these things. And I can just picture in my mind watching some people have this happen in their life. A good thing happens and they get free from something. And then all of a sudden, some little thing takes a little twist or turn. And then all of a sudden, they're right back in that feeling of anxiety, which kind of holds them back. And then, you know, they're never going to fulfill, you know, what God wants them to do. Now, the idea how this does is what it does is it the spiritual and the physical, and this is kind of want us to see how sometimes it's not just instantaneous freedom in Christ, because sometimes it's progressive. And we need to understand the difference in the two, because we can judge ourselves. You know, we hear a testimony, somebody came forward, got touched and healed, boom, just like that. You get prayed for, and you get touched and healed, but your healing might be progressive in the restoration process and what God wants to do in your life. And what happens, I believe, with the idea of spirit, soul, and body, we looked at that, how anxiety comes in. But spiritual anxiety, like I say, is an attack from the devil. And that anxiety, to me, is how the devil comes in and he tries to strangle us and to choke us, and like a snake strangles its prey, and it gets us held in bondage. Now, what that does, it influences our self-image and our emotional worldview, because we all look at the world in probably a little bit of a different way. Our worldview is your perception of the world around you. And if you're struggling with some sort of attack from the devil, your interpretation of a situation may be totally different than somebody else's, and you're looking at the same thing. It's because of what's going on up here, up in your mind, as how we interpret that stuff, you know, and how we look at it. And that's what can hold us back or can really cause us to walk in victory. Now, as we see that strangulation process takes place and it affects our emotional worldview, what it does, it also affects our physical body. And this is what I want us to see a little bit in the natural. See, when anxiety comes on us, something is triggered in our body, and it's that fight or flight mechanism that comes on when you start to think about something in the future that's going to happen that causes you to be afraid, okay? What it does, your adrenal gland kicks in, and it excretes or releases some cortisol. Now, cortisol is good. God made it that way, and that stuff is in our body. And what it does is it helps us with those problems, but cortisol is only good for short periods of time. And when we are struggling with anxiety and that adrenal gland is constantly working and cortisol is being released in our body, it has an effect on our body. So then what I want us to see, it's like being on a merry-go-round, but it's not so merry. Because you could be touched by God, you can be had of a revelation from God, but still it might take a little bit of time to work that cortisol out of your mind, out of your body. It stays in there for a little bit. And that's what I want us to see. Some people may be touched and just healed instantly by God, and praise God for that. But don't feel robbed if it doesn't happen that way in your life all the time. Because what will happen is that you'll get set free, and still you might have issues in your mind, and maybe this chemical is being released in your mind, and it has to work out. And that's why it's good to maybe do some exercise and different things to be able to work some of these chemicals out of your mind and body and to do some things. And we're going to go into that in a minute. But so I just want us to see that there's a spiritual side and an emotional side and a physical side to anxiety. And it's so easy we can judge somebody because we feel that we've dealt with the spiritual, but yet we don't see the total freedom yet. And we just kind of put that person in bondage, and that's not what being a Christian is all about, is it? No. We want to see people set free, and we want to be there for them and to be able to encourage them, so that they can come out of this thing and walk in victory. Because that is my total view of Jesus Christ, is that he wants us to walk in victory. Yes, there's going to be skirmishes, there's going to be battles, you know, things are going to happen, but nevertheless, I believe he has called us to be able to walk in that kind of victory. So, get off that merry-go-round. It's going to take a little time. Now, here's where some of the answers come in. We're going to look at a couple of the answers now. And that's why the importance of prayer. You know, Jesus told us through the Apostle Paul here, he said, be anxious for nothing. Now, what's that mean? Is nothing something? No. It means don't be anxious about anything. That's his command to us. That's what he says we need to do. It's hard. I know it is. Because we all deal with stuff. But then he says, by prayer and supplication. Okay. How is your prayer life? If I would take a show of hands right now, how many people here believe that God answers prayer? Most people would raise their hand. But then if I said, why don't you pray more?
we would all probably hang our head low, right? I'm in that group too. It's something that we don't do. And see, this is where the enemy comes in. A distracted mind is a dangerous mind. The last thing you want to do when you feel anxious is pray. Why? Because prayer says stop and set and listen while your body is raging with this cortisol. Your adrenal glands kicked in and your mind is just running around that merry-go-round just 100 miles an hour. So the hardest thing for us to do is the thing that's the answer, and that's prayer. And see, if we could start to see the answer, I believe that some of us will probably, you know, try to grab a hold of that and start to turn these things around, because what happens is that instead of our mind racing towards a problem, we need to make it race towards a solution. And that only happens when we calm down, settle down a little bit, and pray. And spend some time with God. And over that process of getting in that habit, you're going to start to see the merry-go-round slow down. Because what it does, God promises that He's going to give us peace. I believe that prayer calms the storm inside of us. And it's the best thing we can do, but like I said, it's the last thing we want to do. So just kind of keep that in your memory banks as we're going to be starting this series on prayer. Going to give us some good information on how it can happen. Now the next point is to choose to think differently. Now, I talked about rewiring our brain. We need to rewire our thinking. And as we rewire our thinking, we rewire our brain. I can't say that real fast. I don't know about you. But, you know, the idea of being able to change what we think about. You know, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says here, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, all those things. And then he says, dwell on these things. He tells us to dwell there. That means live there, be there. You know, dwell is to a deliberate, prolonged contemplation. It's where you control your mind. You don't let it wander and run off and go off and do all these other things and chase these rabbits of what could happen. But we look to God and we look to God's Word. And we start to say, God, I trust You. See, the problem, I believe, and I know it's in my life, so I would imagine it's in a couple people sitting here today, is that we don't trust God is our problem. How many times have we given God our problem? And then we take it back because God's not moving fast enough. I do it. I know I do it. But yet I know that God tells me in the Word there's a better way. So it's not what pops in our mind that we should be thinking about. It's what we choose to put in our mind. And that's important that we start to take control and we start to turn these things around, because what we're going to see is that if we can develop inner peace, we're going to walk in outer peace. Just as simple as that. I don't know about you, but I want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I don't want to get all wrapped up at stuff, you know what I'm saying, and get all concerned and worried about the little things that, you know, like I said, that probably isn't going to happen, and be able to turn these things around. Because when God talks about peace, you know, the peace of God that guards our heart and mind, what that is, that's a military term where a guard is on sentry duty. So when we pray and we start to choose to think on good things, it's like God sets a guard or a sentry over our mind so that the enemy can't come in and attack. I don't know about you, but I like to have, you know, in the old days you're in the military, you have to have somebody keeping watch. Why? Because the enemy tries to sneak in at night. He tries to sneak in at the darkest times, the times when we feel the worst. And see, that's why we need God through our prayer life and through our thought life to put a guard there, so that we don't have to throw in the towel and give up to what the enemy thinks that we need to have. Now, we all have emotions. Emotions are like the weather. They change constantly, right?
We all do. I mean, how many has been happy and then some little thing happens and all of a sudden you're just madder than a hornet? Just that quick. I mean, I want us to see today that we are not our emotions. We have emotions. And you need to separate those two things. You are not that emotional creature that freaks out or yells. You are a child of God. And that you're part of God's family. And we're what the Word says. And last point I want to see is choose to act differently. You know, actions reinforce our thinking. And this is where we have to kind of be a doer of the Word of God. And that's where we got to get off the couch. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can think about mowing the yard, but till we get up and mow the yard don't get mowed. You know, the dishes don't get done. You know, the food doesn't get cooked. You know, there comes an action point in everything. It's the same in the kingdom of God and walking with God. You know, we need to have corresponding action. So especially if we're under attack. Now, if you don't struggle with anxiety, or I'm sure we all have other issues, but whatever it is, you know, we're going to have to do something, that corresponding action, by living it out, by walking it out. And that comes by the first thing you need to do is develop a prayer life. Now, you don't have to pray an hour or 2 hours or 10 minutes at one time if you're not there yet. You know what I'm saying? But just start where you're at. Just start to pray and spend some quiet time with God. And don't take this wrong, but don't do all the talking. You know what I'm saying? Let God have a word every now and then. And He will. If we shut up long enough, God'll speak to our heart or let us feel a little premonition about something or put something good in our mind, a positive thing. And as we do that, then we start to grow closer and closer, and we start to then walk in the freedom. So prayer, to me, just taking a little bit of time and whatever works for you, whenever you can do it, slows things down and puts things in perspective. Now, I'm just going to throw this out. I know a lot of people say, I pray on the way to work or while I'm driving. That's all good. And maybe it does make you drive slower. I don't know. I'm not there with you. Maybe you have trouble. Maybe you have a lead foot. But I'm just saying, also take a little time where you're sitting around. Or maybe just even walking if you're fidgety. But where you're not doing something else and trying to kill two birds with one stone all the time. You know what I'm saying? Just take a few minutes and just spend some time with God. Say, God, I want to develop a relationship with you. I want to pray. I want to get to know you better. See, God knows the plans that He has for us. He knows where we should be and what we should be doing. And I believe He wants to reveal that to us. But, you know, I think sometimes we just need to slow down and quiet down to be able to get to that place. Next, do Christian things. Now, this one you ain't going to like, maybe. If you struggle with anxiety, this is not condemnation, but this is a fact. Anxiety is sin. It's lack of trust of God. Don't feel bad, because everybody has issues, right? Everybody has sins that we do, so don't just think that, oh, I'm picking on you. I'm not. But just repent. Say, God, I repent of anxiety and not trusting you. I just want to cast all my cares on you. Thank you for washing me by the blood and be done with it. You know what I'm saying? How many times you got to do that? I guess till you feel good about it. Amen? Hey, whatever it takes. You know, but that's the first step that we have to do. We have to get back into trusting God. Then, these are kind of harsh now that I'm looking at them. Take your eyes off yourself and look to others. Because when you have anxiety or we have sin or we have different issues going on in our life, we just think about my problems, my needs, what's going on. Now, I'm not saying in your relationship with God, by all means, ask Him for stuff. Hey, why not? Ask not, you have not, the Bible says. But don't make it all about asking. Make it about connection, about relationship, and getting closer to your Father. And then you're going to start to see things happen. Obedient to God's word, doing what the Bible says. You know, serving in this church, you know, it's a great opportunity, you know, to serve God's people and to help out and to be,
you know, everything God's called you to be. Because I feel that when we're doing things like this, we have less times to think about ourselves. Okay, you may have a great financial need. Maybe you have a problem. But then you find somebody else that has that too. You know, maybe give them some food. Maybe do something for them. And say, God, I know I have a problem, but I know they do too, and I want to be your servant. And if you feel God telling you to help them, help them. And you'll be surprised and amazed what God will do in your life just by that act of generosity, of making a difference in somebody else's life. Because when we make a difference in somebody else's life, God makes a difference in our life. And that turns the corner for us in getting out of it. Prayer, like I said, is a cure for anxiety. And what it does, it takes the focus off our ability and puts it back on God's ability. And I just want us to remember is that we're not in this battle alone, that God's with us. And you say, how could God be with me when I have anxiety? He's there. He's saying, he's there, he's reaching out to us. We just got to reach back. Well, how do you reach back, Pastor Brad? You quiet down and you pray. And it's the last thing you want to do. I know that. Because when anxiety hits me, the last thing I want to do is settle down, relax. I had an old baseball coach used to tell us that. We get all kind of hyped up. And that was his saying, settle down, relax. He'd tell that over and over. You know, I never listened. But now I know what it means. There's a lot of truth to that. So anxiety is real. And we shouldn't say that it isn't. But I want us to look today that God is more real. And through prayer, we can take back control of our mind and be set free from the anxiety that is over us. Amen? Let's pray.